being rooted and grounded up. We're learning how we are to be rooted and established in the love of God. And if you and I are going to be rooted and established in the love of God, we're going to have to learn how to listen to God. We're going to have to learn how to hear His voice. You know, in our day and time, it seems that if you pray, people consider you spiritual. You know, if you talk to God, they consider you spiritual. But if you hear from God, they somehow think you're crazy. Have you noticed how that is? It's kind of funny. You speak to God, you're okay. You're spiritual. You talk to God, you're spiritual. If you hear from God, they think you're nuts. Well, here's the thing. God is still speaking. God is still speaking. And God wants you to hear Him, and He wants you to know His voice. In the Bible, you know, we think that God speaks a lot. You know, and in modern times, is He still speaking? Does He still speak today? Or does He have laryngitis or something like that? Or you know, what? Think about it for a second. Right now, people are having all types of conversations all around us. We can't see them, but there are conversations happening in the air. There are pictures in the air, but we can't see them. Now, if you have a cell phone, it picks up the conversations. You have that ability to enter into that conversation. If you have a television, you can pick up that broadcast. But it's not any less real. But in order to get into that conversation, in order to get that picture, what do you have to be? You have to be tuned in. You have to be tuned in if you want to get in on that conversation. God is still speaking. We can hear from Him still. But we have to learn how to tune in and how to hear the voice of God. And not just hearing the voice of God, but understanding what He is saying to us. You know, communication can be difficult, even between human beings. Maybe I should say, especially between human beings, you know. We can communicate with God. We can understand Him. We can know His voice because He is still speaking. But again, we've got to learn how to get tuned in. So how do we hear the voice of God? How do we tune in to the voice of God? How do we learn to be guided by Him? Hopefully you're in John chapter 10 right now. Here Jesus is speaking and he tells us that He wants us to know His voice. In that we're learning and we're knowing the voice of God. So John chapter 10, beginning with verse 10. Here's what Jesus is talking about, and here's what He's saying. He says this, "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy." Now, we know that He's talking about Satan as the thief, and He knows that you and I have an enemy that wants to destroy our lives. And by the way, Satan is known as the father of lies. So we've got Satan speaking, and he's telling lies, which is the only thing he really knows how to do. He's telling lies. And then with that, as we continue to read the passage, God is speaking too. And He's going to tell us, and He's going to tell you the truth. So how do we discern those different voices? How do we discern the voice of God? And how do we discern the truth? The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus goes on and says, "But I have come that you might have life, and have it," and what's the next part? "Abundantly," or to the fullest, whichever translations you have. To the fullest. Have it to the fullest. Now let's stop right there for just a second. Jesus says we have an enemy. The enemy wants to destroy your life. He's the father of lies. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy. We got all that settled, right? But then Jesus has come along that we might have life and then have it to the fullest. The original Greek word that is used for full is the word zoe. A Zoe life is life to the maximum. A Zoe life is life to the maximum. It is life abundant. Jesus wants us to have this. And he continues teaching. He says, if we're going to have an abundant life, a Zoe life, we've got to learn to discern his voice. We've got to learn to discern his voice. Now skip down to verse 27. You there? Skip down to verse 27. Then he goes on and he says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they know me. Verse 28, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Verse 29, my Father who has given them to me is greater than them all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. Then at the very end of verse 29, Jesus says, I and the Father are one. We are united in this, is what he's saying. Jesus is the shepherd in this illustration, right? And we are the sheep. We're not going to talk about how dumb sheep are. I'm going to assume that we all know how dumb sheep are. We are the sheep. And we're to know his voice and to follow him. If you've said yes to Jesus, I want you to know that's a forever thing. As long as you have said yes to Jesus, and as long as you are following in Jesus, and it's your desire to follow him every day, there's nothing that no one can ever come along and take you or snatch you out of his hands. It cannot happen. The work of Christ in your life is an eternal, forever thing. Jesus and the Father are one. Now, if you want to know what God is like, if you want to know his personality, if you want to know how he would respond to things, you look at Jesus. If you want to know the voice of God, you've got to understand who Jesus is. We must know his voice and we must follow him. And the result of that, again, is life abundant, life to the fullest, life to the maximum. There are three things here in this passage of Scripture that we're going to talk about. Remember last week I said any good sermon has three points. So I'm going to give you 3 points this morning, and then you can decide whether it's a good one or not. But the first one that we're going to talk about is this. God wants you to know his voice because he loves you. That's the basis for everything we do in life, knowing that God loves us and receiving that love. Again, he doesn't have laryngitis, okay? God's not playing Where's Waldo with you, you know? He's not hiding somewhere and you have to figure out where he's at. Understand this, God is not the author of confusion. So if there's confusion in your life, it's not coming from God. I'll say that again. If there's confusion in your life, it's not coming from God. Amen. Thank you. All three of you. He is speaking, and he is speaking in a very clear way. It's just that sometimes we have trouble understanding it. We have trouble hearing his voice because we are human, and we tend to be scattered. We tend to be distracted. We tend to have so many other things going in our mind, we can't hear him. The secret of all of this in hearing God is learning how to tune in. And that's what we're going to talk about today. You know, for some of us, this is a big, big deal. And for some of us, this may be more like an academic exercise, you know. Well, you're like, okay, now how does God speak? Tell me how to do it. I want to know. But for some of us, you're trying to make a major decision, and you're like, do I take this job or do I take that job? I'm struggling in my marriage. I'm not sure what the next step is. What is God saying to me? And it could be that you're a single adult here, and you're wondering, you've been dating someone for a while, and you're wondering, Lord, is this the one that you have for me? Is this that one? And for you, this is not an academic exercise. It's a big life moment. And if that's you, first of all, know that God loves you more than you could ever understand. He loves you. And he wants to guide you. He wants to guide your steps. He wants to guide your stops. you and I have just got to learn how to tune in. In fact, there are five ways that God usually speaks in our day and time. And if you were watching the lead-in, you got some of the answers to this worksheet already, if you were watching the lead-in this morning, because the answers were there. You know, God can speak however he wants to, right? There's one moment in the Bible where he speaks and a hand literally shows up on the wall and starts writing a message on the wall. By the way, that's where we get the phrase, the handwriting on the wall. And one time, God spoke through a donkey. Literally. The donkey stops and begins talking to the guy. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was standing there and this donkey started talking to me, I think I'd listen. Probably scratch my head a few times, but I think I would listen. And if God can speak through a donkey, maybe he can speak through anyone. You suppose? So here are the five major ways that God speaks in our day and time. The first way is this: through the Bible. He speaks to us through the Bible. It's the primary way that he speaks, and the four other ways will always fall in line with this one. The Bible is God's love letter to us, okay? Plain and simple, that's his love letter to us. God's will is found in his word. Now, I'm getting goosebumps. I mean, I can always tell when I get goosebumps because the hair that I don't have on my head stands up. God's will is found in his word. Now, I want to give you this. This is a tweetable statement right here. Stop looking for a sign and start looking for a verse. Stop looking for a sign and start looking for a verse. God, speak to me from your word. See, the more you know your Bible, the more you will know God. And the more that you know your Bible, the more you'll be able to discern the voice of God when he speaks to you. You see, it's knowing the Bible in its context and what the book is actually teaching. I don't know if any of you saw Bailey's YouTube thing this week on knowing the context and not just taking a word or verse out of context. It was so good. She was talking about that, and if just tune into their YouTube thing. It's really fun. But she was talking about people take things out of context and they miss the whole point of what God is saying through his word to us because we pick and choose. It's knowing the Bible in its context and what the book is actually teaching. If it's out of context, it's a con. I'll tell you that right now. Some people, when they think about the Bible, aren't thinking trust. They're thinking magic, you know. This is important because in our relationship with God as the shepherd and us as the sheep, that means it is meant to be a trusting relationship. We want magic. He wants trust. And those are two very different things. You know, there's a story of a guy who wanted to, and you've probably heard this, he wanted direction from God. So he took his Bible, and he closed his eyes, and he opened it up, and he pointed down, and then he looked at it, and he says, and Judas went out and hanged himself. He goes, oh, well, that can't be right. So he does it again and points it again. It's, go thou and do likewise. He goes, oh, this can't be right. So he does it again, and it says, what you do, you must do in a hurry. And like, understand this, folks. That's not how God speaks to us. That's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about here is that the Bible, what the Bible teaches as a whole. What's the truth throughout the scripture? Because God primarily speaks through the Bible. Again, you want to know the context of what you're reading. Don't pick and choose. Don't close your eyes and point and think you're going to get a word from God. A lot of people are intimidated by the Bible, but you don't need to be. As you get into God's word, understand this, God's word will get into you. The second way that God will speak to you is through authority. We don't like this one, though, do we? Of course, the Bible is the main authority, so we should submit. We need to submit to Scripture. God's will, and God will speak to you through authority, such as through pastors and leaders. In the church, pastors and leaders have authority. That doesn't make them any more special than you, okay? It just means that they have a different role in the church. The Bible also says it's a heavier responsibility. In fact, in the book of James, it says, don't all or many aspire to be teachers or pastors, because they're going to be held to a higher requirement. They're going to be judged more strictly than regular folk. I've told you this before. I've asked God to let me do anything else many times. I said, God, please, let me do something else, and He hasn't let me. God will speak to you through authority. He will. It could be that you have a moment in your life, at some moment in your life, that could be that you were one of 100 people in a given auditorium, or maybe you were watching or listening online, but it's like the pastor or the teacher knew your name and read your mail and knew exactly what you were going through in your life. There's no way they could have known it except through the Holy Spirit. That's God speaking to you through authority. The Bible says in Romans 13 that government is our authority. And in this day and age, we're, with all that's going on in our government, it kind of makes us fear a little bit, doesn't it? That the government could be an authority in our life. But that's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 13, that the government is an authority. That it's God's will for us to obey the law of the land. When you're driving down the road and the posted speed limit is 65 miles an hour, then it's God's will for you to drive 65 miles an hour. And everybody says, yeah, the grace gives me 5 miles over that, you know, yeah. That's your grace, not God's grace, okay? See, the law of the land is ultimately ordained by God. Understand that. There's no one that is put into any political position that is not allowed to be done so by God, okay? And so every time that you get dissatisfied with our president's tweets or anything else about him that you may not like, you are required under the word to pray for that godly, that leader, whether he's godly or not, whether you like him or not, your responsibility is to pray for him. There's too many people criticizing already. You don't need to fall into that category. There's enough of that going on. Pray for him. Parents would also be a godly authority in your life, okay, if you're teenagers or if you're not. They are. In fact, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 that if you obey your parents, it's good for you. You'll live a long life. And so parents are a godly authority. If you have a job, your employer would be your godly authority. If you are married, your spouse is your godly authority in your life. And if you're thinking about this, the passage that says, wives, submit to your husbands, it would include that. That's in Ephesians chapter 5 as well. Most men who've been in church for 5 seconds know that scripture, wives, submit to your husbands. Men, do you know the verse that's right before that one? Before the whole wives, submit to your husbands bit, it says that you are to submit to each other out of reverence of Christ. So just to be clear here, marriage is a commitment of mutual submission. Just to be clear. Mutual submission. When you read the rest of Ephesians 5, it's like, guys, here's your role in mutual submission. Ladies, here's your role in mutual submission. Gentlemen, God will speak to you through your wife. Sue said, I didn't write that. If it's from God, it will be according to God's word. Okay? Get that part. Forget the last sentence. Come to this sentence. If it is from God, it will be according to God's word. If your wife is a follower of Jesus, man, I suggest you do one thing. That is, listen to her. Ladies, if your husband is a follower of Jesus, God will speak to you through him. If you're having a marital conversation, that's what we call fights. If you're having a marital conversation and there's conviction, it could be that God is speaking to you. And since we're on the subject, when there's a confrontation in your relationship, when you're having one of those conversations, that's a good time to pray. It's a good time to pray. You won't feel like praying. I'll tell you that right now. You won't feel like it. You won't want to pray at that moment. But if you just take your spouse's hand at that moment and pray, you will begin submitting yourselves to God. The atmosphere will change. Because Jesus doesn't take sides. He takes over. Sue and I were having a conversation like that several months back. And it was like we both were only seeing our own point, and we didn't take time to view God's point. And so we stopped right there, and we said, we need to pray. And so we grabbed each other's hands and started praying. And the atmosphere changed instantly. And that's the way it will happen. I mean, 99 times out of 100, I've seen that happen. It's happened in our own lives. So I know it will happen. The atmosphere will change. Okay, let's move on, shall we? If you're here today and you have authority, you want to make sure that you're under God's authority. If you're a parent, if you're a leader, if you're a boss, if you're an employer, there's one point I want you to see, and this is so important. If you can't be under authority, then you shouldn't be in authority. If you can't be under authority, you shouldn't be in authority. If anyone starts preaching or teaching things that the Bible doesn't say, things that are not true or not according to Scripture, then you need to not listen to them. A pastor's job, I've told you so many times, my prayer when I get up here is to rightly divide the word of truth. And that's a pastor's job, is to deliver as best as possible the truth of God's word. And it's your job to learn it with them. And we all respond together. So the Bible always comes first. God also speaks through authority. And the third thing that God speaks to us through is through godly others. And the key word here is godly. The truth is, when we're making life decisions, you can find someone who will agree with you. If godly people are disagreeing with you, and you go out and find an ungodly friend who agrees with you, you're not trying to listen to God. See, what you're doing is you're rationalizing and trying to find someone who will tell you just what you want to hear. How do you know if they're godly? Well, they're following Jesus. They're going to church regularly. They know the Bible. They're humble. By the way, humility is the chief virtue of the Christian life. 1 Peter 5:5. Says this: God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. You want to find humble people who you know are following Jesus, and you need to find people who care more about your future than they do about your feelings. You want people who will tell you the truth whether you like it or not. Godly others. This is a verse that we would be great to memorize. You know, I think even teenagers, maybe especially teenagers, this would be a good one to memorize. It applies to all of us. Proverbs 13:20. Proverbs 13:20 says this: walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Walk with the wise and you'll become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. So if you want to be wise, If you want to be godly, if you want to know the voice of God, then you need to live your life with people who are wise, godly, and know the voice of God. You want to become more godly? Hang out with godly people. You see, you become like those whom you hang out with. And I know right now you think, probably thinking, well, my friends are all idiots. So what does that say about you? If all of your friends are idiots, what does it say about you? You want to put yourself in a place where you can get regular godly counsel from the people who love God and who love you. God will speak to you through godly others. In the realm of godly others, read good Christian books, okay? Written by people that you know hear the voice of God, know the voice of God, and they are godly. Listen to good sermons. I mean, we live in an age where you can go online, you can dial up YouTube, type in a good preacher, and listen to his sermons online. Listen to good sermons. Then the fourth way that God speaks to us is through a still small voice. What does that mean? Well, every once in a while, the Holy Spirit will prompt you and nudge you. And you're going through your day and somebody will come to your mind. And it's just that kind of random thing and you can't shake it. God will speak to you in a still, small voice. He will nudge you in a certain direction. He will impress on you certain things. So how do you know if it's God? How do you know if it's not your mind? How do you know if it's not that pizza that you ate last night? How do you know it's not the one who came to steal, kill, and destroy your life? When you get these promptings, when you get these nudges, talk to godly others. Ask some authority in your life. Run it through the grid of how God speaks to you. God will speak to you in a still small voice. He will nudge you. Here's how I do it. As he prompts you to do certain things, the question comes like this. What are you tuned into? Are you tuned in? Are you listening to the voice of God? Here's how I gauge that myself. I get up in the morning. I spend time in the Word, I spend time in prayer, I spend time in meditation on Him, and I pray, like I shared with you last week, I say, God, help my mind to be on You today. Anoint my mind to think the right things, to be thinking the right thoughts. And as I do that, and I've prayed that, then when I sense a nudging come along, I trust that that's God speaking to me because I committed my time to Him. Now, if I get up in the morning and I just read a worldly novel, and if I get up and turn on a TV show that or a movie or something that just really, you know, all violence and profanity and all of that stuff, and I hear this nudge coming along, I'm like, well, where did that come from? But if I've committed my time to the Lord in the morning and I say, God, guide my thoughts, guide my steps, guide my stops today, Lord. Help my mind to be stayed on You. Help my mind to be thinking good thoughts, godly thoughts. Then when I feel that, when I have that nudge, when I have that urge come across, I trust that it's God speaking to me. And you want to know what? It is. It always is. The enemy will try to come and break through that barrier, but if you put your mind on Him, God will speak to you. Because He desires to speak to you. He wants you to hear His voice. He wants you to trust that you have heard His voice. Okay? All right. The last way is through circumstances. He will speak to you through circumstances. Now, understand this, please. Ever heard the phrase an open door or a closed door? That's how church people say it. Oh, it was an open door. Oh, it was a closed door. God opens this door and God closes this door. And of all of the five that I've showed you right now, this one here is the least reliable. Okay? It comes from something that appeared or that happened to Paul in the New Testament. But people often take that out of context. Understand that usually an open door means it's easy. there was no work involved in it. This is easy. God must be leading me in this way. He must want me to do this. Actually, I want you to understand that most of the time when God speaks to you, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be difficult. And God wants you to trust him. Exactly 6 years ago yesterday, Sue and I left Arkansas to make the move to come out here. It was the hardest move we ever made. But we know beyond the shadow of a doubt, we knew then and we still know right now that it was God moving us to come here, uprooting a place that we'd lived for 15 years where we had family and friends and too many possessions in our big house that we had. And he moved us out here. We know that beyond the shadow of a doubt. It wasn't easy. We always like the things that are easy. God leads us to do things that are easy. But you know what? Most often, God doesn't lead you through easy things when he's speaking to you. If you are disobeying God because it's difficult, and you're using the, oh, closed door, it's so hard, it must not be God, then you're deceiving yourself. You're entirely capable. If you're entirely capable of opening and closing those doors, then I don't think, on your own strength, I don't think that it's God. But what's the Bible say? What do authorities say? What do godly others say? What is God prompting you to do? See, a lot of times, people will use the open door, closed door as an excuse to just be lazy. If you need a job right now, and you're just sitting around, well, I'm just waiting for God to open the door and send me the right job. You need to put together a resume and send it out and get it out there and get a job. Let me tell you a verse from Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Galatians 6, 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. A man will reap what he sows. But, you know, we use this open door, closed door excuse many times to just be lazy. Here's the formula for you, all right? It's not original with me. You want to pray as if it all depends on God and work as if it all depends on you. Really? That's the response I get from that? That was a good one. You want to pray as if it all depends on God and work as if it all depends on you.
Yeah.
And you know what happens? And God will meet you. He will meet you in the middle. Back to the big points, okay? We're going to go on to number two. So first, God wants you to know his voice. And that's why he speaks to you through a still small voice today. And number two is to know the voice, to know his voice, you've got to know the shepherd. You've got to know him. Spend time with God and you'll learn the voice of God. I talked last week a little bit about how Gabe and Todd are good friends because they've spent a lot of time together. They talk to one another. I think you talk to one another. You know, they talk to one another, so they know each other and they probably know what each other's thinking. I had a friend in high school named Wade, and we'd do everything together. You know, we would ride our bikes, we would run. We ran a lot of places in town because we just liked running. And we were on the track and cross-country teams, so we would do that as staying in shape and everything. And we had been walking down this boulevard. We were running, walking. And we hadn't spoken for like a half hour. And at the exact same time, on the exact same note, in the exact same place in the song, we started singing. And we kind of looked at each other, and it's like, we were just really good. Now, why did that happen? I have no clue. But all I know this is we were good friends. We knew what each other were thinking. We cared about one another. We loved one another in God and Jesus, and we were the best of friends. Spend time with God, and you'll learn to know his voice. You'll know what he's thinking for you in your life. You know, if you were to call someone up on the phone and you just start talking, and they don't have caller ID, and you don't know them real well, you know, maybe they don't know you real well, and they might be nice to you for a little while, but after a while they're going to say, who is this? You know, But you know, if you hung out with them all the time and you talk to each other regularly, it's going to be to the point where you call them and you don't have to say who it is. They just know because they know your voice. And it's the same thing with God. The more that you spend time with God, the more that you're in church, the more you listen to godly teachers, the more that you're around godly others, the more that you get to know the shepherd, the more that you're going to be able to discern his voice when he speaks. If you want to know the voice of God, you have got to spend time with God. And the more we spend time with him, the more we'll be able to recognize his voice when he speaks to us. Spend time with God, and you'll know the voice of God, and you'll follow him where he leads you. Last main point, number three. This is kind of the big thought of the day, okay? This is kind of the big thought because everyone wants to know the specifics. Oh, I need to know the specifics. Am I supposed to take this job? Am I supposed to take that job? Am I supposed to marry this person? Am I supposed to marry that person? What am I supposed to do in this situation? So here's the last one. Are you ready? If you do the general things that God asks of you, then you'll know the specific things you're supposed to do. All right, let's break that down a little bit. There are a bunch of things that all of us know are in the will of God. Those would be the general things. How many of you think it's God's desire for you to come to church? And you don't usually wait till, you know, Saturday or Sunday to decide whether you're going to go to church and just show up. It's part of your life, and so it's not a thought that you have to even make. Yeah, I'm going to church. It's part of my life. When I was growing up, I wasn't given an option. It's not like I could decide whether I was going to go to church or not. We were at church when the church doors were open, period. It's a part of your life. All of us know that it's God's will for us to pray. It's God's will for us to be around godly others. All of us know it's God's will for us to get into the Bible and read the Bible. And when you do those general things that you know are God's will for you, when it's time to make a more specific decision, the more you'll know what God wants for you. Why? Because you spent time with God doing those general things. Your job, your marriage, what to do with your kids, how to deal with your aging parents, how do you handle your teenagers. When it's time to make those specific decisions, you'll know what you're supposed to do because you've been spending time with God doing those things. In summary, Jesus came so that we could have life to the fullest. Life to the fullest, life abundant, life to the maximum. If we're going to experience that, we have got to learn to recognize his voice. And that's it for today. That's what we've got to do. If you want to learn to hear his voice, you've got to learn to spend time with him. Hang around with godly people. Yeah, but I work with a bunch of heathens. Okay, when you're not working, hang around with godly people. Be praying all day long while you're working with those heathens. Ask God to help you be a light. I used to intentionally go out and find the roughest, most heathen softball team in the league and then go and join their team. I guess it was my way of being an evangelist. I wasn't obnoxious. I didn't go out and preach at them all the time and tell them all the bad things they were doing. When they cussed, I didn't go, oh, my. No. And I've told you the story before. I've had people who never darkened the door of my church say that I was their pastor. I didn't condemn them. And the funny thing is, Jesus, if you think about the woman who was caught in adultery, he didn't condemn her either. He just simply said, go and sin no more. And so when you're hanging out with with the heathens at work, let your light shine. Don't be obnoxious. Don't put them down because they don't believe the same way you do. Love them right where they are. Because Jesus came to this world and he loved those people right where they were. He went to a tax collector who was considered to be the lowest of the low. He went to his house for dinner. You know what? Let God speak to you. Let God speak through you by modeling his character when you're around those people that don't know Christ yet. Listen for that still small voice. Get up every morning and ask God to set aside your day. Ask him to anoint your day. Ask him to fill your mind and your words and your thoughts with godly things. Don't repeat those dirty jokes when your non-Christian friends tell dirty jokes. Don't repeat them. Amen? Amen. All right. Let's stand.